Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning on this cold Tuesday morning, and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I am Adrian Bugatti, and we're talking Shavuot. Shavuot is the festival of weeks, and we are at 7 weeks from Pesach, therefore the name. It's also known by two other names, and one of them is the Harvest Festival, and it is also the time that we receive the Torah. So, in 9 days, we have Shavuot. It starts on Thursday night, and it lasts until Motzei Shabbos. As Jews, we are obligated to follow the law of the land that we live in, as long as it doesn't contradict halacha. And with this in mind, we need to remember that right now, the law of the land is locked down. There are no gatherings. And just as it was for Pesach, it will be for Shavuot. And I know it's another difficult chag celebrated in solitude. But just because you can't have a million visitors or friends and family over to enjoy this thing doesn't mean you don't enjoy the gathering. You don't enjoy the chag, and we need to celebrate it anyway in the traditions that it is. So the ruling obviously at present, like I said, there's going to be no shul, there's going to be no bikurim, and there's going to be no yontov guests. Please remember for bikurim, there are a lot of families that are Jewish families that are going without food. So please kindly make your donations to the appropriate charities to help with that. Now, we all associate Shavuot, especially in South Africa, with cheesecake. Where did this dairy for Shavuot come from? Yontov is traditionally, and Shabbos, a meat meal, because meat is a celebratory meal, and it's a special occasion. So in my little research looking on what to talk about today, here's something I learned. So before the Torah was given, we had no shvita. People didn't need to keep separate meat and milk. It was just normal living. Then we received the Torah, and the Jewish community had no kosher pots and pans, and they had to be kashered. To make life a little easier for them, they chose to eat dairy, as they were still learning the laws of shkita and having to kasher their things. So obviously, like I said before, traditionally the Jews of South Africa especially have cheesecake. It's become the treat of choice. And in previous years, we held competitions for it and that. So remember where you got your favorite cheesecake from and go and support them. Order your cheesecake for delivery. So, as I said, cheesecake for us is a traditional Ashkenazi treat, which is the majority of the South African community. But I found some other delicious sounding recipes to celebrate Shavuot. The first one was from the Syrian Jews, and they enjoy something called a cheese sambusak. This is very similar to a cheese-filled ravioli or burekas. So sounds yummy to me. I love making ravioli. Then I found from the Iraqi community something called kai. Kai is a traditional phyllo pastry square served with warm honey and clotted cream. From Tunisia and Morocco, we get a 7-layer cake, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, called Siete Cielos, and that means 7 heavens. Obviously 7 referring to the 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuot. In the Yemenite community, however, they do not eat dairy over Shavuot. They have their normal meat meal, and that's what is served. Now, as it's a requirement and not sort of, it's not a requirement to eat dairy, it's more of a tradition, I do reserve it mostly for the lunches over Shavuot. And then we have meat for dinner. And this year especially, Shavuot falls on Shabbos, and traditionally, I mean, Shabbos without meat, unless you're a vegetarian, just doesn't seem right. So I've decided that this year I'm definitely trying the kahi with clotted cream. Now, the traditional clotted cream takes about 12 to 14 hours to make, and it's made from buffalo milk. Obviously, I'm going to be using normal milk for this. And I did find the recipe, which I'll talk about now. So it's called Gamar, is the clotted cream. If we had kosher, if we had buffaloes in captivity that we could milk, I would love to get some buffalo milk. Yes, buffalo is a kosher animal. It does chew a cud and have split hooves. Right. I got the recipe for kahi from a website called 196flavors.com. It's spelled with the American spelling of flavors, FLAVORS.com. And their recipe for kahi is only for two people, but from looking at it, it is easily made into more. So here's the recipe. They want 6 sheets of phyllo dough, 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 2 tablespoons of honey, and it is served with, like I said, kamar, which is the clotted cream. Once again, this recipe that I'm giving you is for two people, so if you want to make it for more, just increase the amount of phyllo pastry, butter, and honey accordingly. Preheat your oven to 180. And then brush each sheet of phyllo pastry with some melted butter. And then you stack it 4x4. So it's 4 rows up. And you fold each stack 2 or 3 times. And this will create a sort of a square. So how you do that is you do 4 layers. You do a layer of pastry brushed with butter. Next layer brushed with butter. Repeat it until you've got 4 layers. Then you take it and you fold it into rectangles. According to the recipe, they say 7 centimeters by 4 centimeters. And you brush it with butter again. You place it in a lightly greased baking tray. It is best when you're using phyllo pastry to line it with parchment paper, baking paper, wax paper, just because it's easier to get it out of your pastry. You bake it for 20 minutes or until the dough is golden brown. You remove it from the oven and you sprinkle it with warm honey and the clotted cream. So that sounds nice. Now, you know, they're saying 8 sheets of phyllo pastry and that's 4 sheets per serving. So obviously if you're serving 10, you're going to want to use a lot more sheets. So remember to adjust. The butter needs to be slightly melted because you're going to need to brush it over the phyllo pastry. You can make this with margarine. Make sure your margarine is suitable for melting, okay? Because some margarines, when you heat them up, split, and it just ruins the taste of everything. Now, I was talking about the traditional clotted cream, which takes about 12 to 14 hours to cook. And that just seems like a very long time. And I don't know about you, but I kind of don't have, you know, including preparation, about 20 hours to spare to make this cream. I'm all about quick, easy, and, you know, as fast as possible. And as it is, the kahi takes like nearly an hour. So, and that's only if you're making 2. So I'm assuming if you're prepping for more, it's going to take me longer. And I definitely want to try it. So here is the clotted cream recipe that I found. And that was on the website. It's called Hilda's Kitchen Blog. So that's all one word, hildaskitchenblog.com. And she has quite a lot of nice quick recipes. So clotted cream, as she was saying, her mother used to make it the traditional way. She found a much quicker way. So there's 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, or as we know it here, maizena. And then there's a cup of what they call half and half in the US. Here we don't have half and half. So I will give you the substitute when we get back from our break.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and we are talking about ideas for Shavuot and milk. So the recipe I found for the Easy Clotted Cream did ask for half and half, which is not something we get in South Africa. So how are you going to make half and half? Well, that's pretty easy. Half and half is made half milk, half cream. So it's a very sort of cream-rich recipe, this gemar. You're going to use a half a cup of full cream milk and a half a cup of ordinary cream. And you mix that together. You know, and it's very hard to find light cream. So what you would do is, what you could do is use skim milk, to make it less like rich. And you'd use 2/3 of a cup of skim milk or low fat milk and 1/3 of a cup of heavy cream. And that will give you your cup of full cream. So, well, your cup of half and half. So you're going to need to do that. And it's an important one. To think, to put in. Right, so let's go back to the gemar recipe. So 2 tablespoons of cornstarch or maizena, a half a cup of half and half, which I've just explained is 2/3 low-fat milk and 1/3 of full cream, of normal cream. And then they want a pint of whipping cream, which is about 750 mils of normal cream. It's just, I apologize. So it's, yeah, it's a cup, it's 2 cups, sorry. 1 pint is 2 cups. It's just of normal cream. So you're going to do that for your clotted cream. So, and then you're going to stir the cornstarch into your half and half mixture until it's nice and smooth. You're going to heat the normal cream over a medium heat until it starts to bubble. You don't want it to boil because otherwise it just goes weird. And then you're going to whisk the half and half and maizena mixture into the cream, continuing to stir until it gets nice and thick. Not a quick one, but definitely quicker than 14 hours. It takes about 20 minutes. It should resemble like a pancake batter. You're going to bring that into a normal room temperature. You're going to put it into the fridge to set. And then when you're ready to serve it, you'll see it's actually formed like almost like a foamy, sort of like a yogurt-y type texture. And you're going to serve that up. You just pull it out with a spoon and mix it up. It's not going to be smooth, and you can serve it. It has a unique taste because of the cooking process and the amount of cream, but it is delicious. I did try it out. So that is for your kahi and clotted cream. Then there were some other ideas for main meals for dairy. One of them is eggplant lasagna. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about trying to boost your immunity and keep healthy. Eggplant is a great way. It's full of amazing nutrients. And this recipe that I found from mayihavethatrecipe.com, I like that name, which is a kosher recipe blog. And they've got the eggplant lasagna. They do make it on their website with gluten-free lasagna sheets, and which I don't know if you can get here. It's not something I've ever looked for. I would use normal spinach lasagna sheets, the green ones, just to give it some coloring, you know, or if you're really feeling, you know, productive, make your own lasagna sheets if you have a pasta machine. So for them, it's, according to these ladies, it's 2 sisters and their names are Vicky and Ruth from, and they do vegetarian, vegan, and kosher. So that's a really nice idea. So the recipe is quite simple. It does take a bit of work because we've got to bread the eggplant and fry it up. So here is the recipe. Like I said, I got this off mayihavethatrecipe.com. So that two eggplants peeled and cut into 2 centimeter thick slices. So depending on the size of your dish, you know, and how long you want to cook it for, I would actually make it about 1 centimeter thick slices. Peel your eggplants, please. The skin can be quite bitter. 1 plain of unsweetened milk. You can use soy milk, almond milk, or normal milk, whichever you prefer. 1 cup of seasoned breadcrumbs. If you want trying to do gluten-free, then you can use gluten-free crumbs. 4 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil divided into batches because you're not going to use it all at the same time. You're going to use that for frying. Then 1 large bunch of fresh basil, freshly washed. And now they're speaking about tofu, which is quite hard to come by and it's not to everybody's taste. You can use ricotta cheese in its place. If you want to use ricotta cheese and you are Challah of Israel, I will tell you now that I have a ricotta cheese recipe on my website. So they're asking for 14 ounces of tofu or ricotta cheese, which is just under 400 grams. So just under 2 cups of cheese. So it's still, and the ricotta cheese is delicious. And that recipe, by the way, my ricotta cheese recipe comes from Alan Bender. Then a teaspoon or half a teaspoon of salt, depending on your taste, your pasta sauce. Just buy yourself a bottle of pasta sauce. If you want to make it yourself, you are welcome. But a small bottle of pasta sauce is perfect. And your box of lasagna sheets. And then some cheese if you are molchik. So you can use mozzarella, cheddar, anything you like as a topping. In my house, we use tusses because that's everybody's favorite. So you're going to slice your eggplant, like I said, about 1 centimeter thick. Into a large bowl, you're going to pour the milk over so it's covered, and then you're going to put in another plate your breadcrumbs. You're going to coat each slice of eggplant with breadcrumbs. So you take it out your milk, put it into the breadcrumbs, and press it slightly, and then put them to one side. In a heavy nonstick pan, you're going to heat 2 tablespoons of olive oil. And arrange as many of the breaded eggplants as you can and then cook them over a medium heat sort of until they get golden brown. So about 3 to 4 minutes on each side. Now, remember, cooking time is adjusted according to whether you're using a gas stove or an electric stove. Remove them from the pan and then repeat the process with whatever's left. Once again, setting aside. So why are you waiting for the eggplants to cook? And it's one of the things that I've learned the hard way is just be patient. You put the eggplant in and you just leave them. So while you're doing that, you're going to put your basil in a food processor and let it chop it until it's small. If you want it to look fancy, keep a few of those basil leaves separate and use them for garnish. Now you can, if you're using tofu, you're going to pulse it in your food processor separately, and it should have the consistency of ricotta cheese, which kind of looks very similar to chunky cottage cheese. Now you're going to clean your pan out, and you're going to spread about half a cup of the sauce on the bottom. So your pasta sauce on the bottom of your pan. Then you're going to arrange your pieces of pasta on top. So all of this is made in one pan. So you can do it in a pot if you'd like. You're going to put some of your ricotta or tofu mixture over that and spread it nicely. Now, the pasta slices are not going to fit into your pan, so you do need to break them. So what I do to make that easier, if I'm not using fresh pasta, I will have put my pasta sheets into some hot water. It just makes it easier to break. You don't want them soft, but you do want them to be able to break easily without shattering. So put your pasta on, then your tofu or ricotta mixture, spread it lightly, place a couple of slices of eggplants on the top, sprinkle with cheese, and top with some more sauce. And repeat the process until you're finished. It should be at least two more stacked layers, so that you end up with a few. Arrange them, and then you'll have a couple of pieces of pasta left over. Arrange them on the top and sprinkle some more cheese over it and cover the pot that you're using. Cook over a low heat for about 17 to 20 minutes. I would say 17 minutes if you've slightly wetted your pasta, because they are ready then a little soft. So depending on how soft you like your pasta, obviously. Once it's finished cooking, you can garnish with your basil leaves and extra melted cheese. So I hope that sounds great. Please remember, this recipe came from mayihavethatrecipe.com. Absolutely delicious sounding. Okay, then for me, I haven't done much planning yet, I must admit. So I'm still thinking about what to make, but I do love the sound of this eggplant lasagna, even though quite a few people in my family are not mad about lasagna. The one thing I'm not having, sorry, is cheesecake. I am not much of a dessert baker or cake baker. Give me bread, give me yeast, and I will make no problem. Quite happy to do rolls and challahs and babkas, all that kind of stuff. But cheesecakes and that are just not my forte. It's not that I can't do them. I just don't enjoy baking for some reason. I'm not sure why, when I love cooking so much. Now, a lot of people want to stick to tradition and have a milk meal, but they also want the yontif meal, which is meat. So last year I discovered a nice little tradition that some people do, is they start their meal with milk. They clear off the table, they rinse out their mouths, and then they do a meat meal. So I've decided that that's something I want to try this year. So I'm going to start with a milk soup, okay, which is cream of mushroom. I love mushroom soup. My children like mushroom soup, even the ones who don't like the mushroom texture. So here's a quick, easy cream of mushroom soup. Love it. It's a punnet of mushrooms, finely chopped. Obviously, depending on how many people you're serving, this would make for four. I'm going to obviously use a lot more than this when we're doing eight of us. So one punnet of mushrooms chopped, one onion finely diced, a clove of garlic minced, about a quarter of a teaspoon of dried thyme, salt and pepper to taste, butter or margarine, depending on if you want a milk soup or a meat soup, about 6 tablespoons of flour, 750 mils of chicken stock, and a cup of cream. Now, if you're doing this parv, you're going to use some Oily Whip. And my suggestion with the Oily Whip is, even the one that's made specifically for cooking and for sauces can split. So how I've prevented that in the past, and it's a trick I learned from some chefs, is I take some of that hot liquid from the soup that I've already cooked, and I put it in a small bowl. And then I slowly add my cream. Oh, sorry, the other way around. I put the cream or the oily whip into a bowl and I slowly add the hot stock, stirring all the time, and that prevents it from curdling or splitting. So here we do. You're going to heat your butter or margarine over a medium heat, and you're going to saute your mushrooms, your onion and garlic until they sort of nice and soft. Then you're going to stir in the flour and your salt, pepper, and thyme, and adding a little of the stock at a time so that you stir until it becomes smooth. If you add in too much of the stock, it's going to form lumps with the flour. So we want to add it in slowly until it's nice and smooth, and until you've added in all your stock. And you're going to bring that to boil. Once it's boiling, you're going to continuously stirring it, depending on your stove, 2 to 5 minutes until the soup starts to thicken. Then reduce the heat, add your cream, and simmer until it's ready. Now, like I said, my children love the taste of the mushroom soup. They don't like the texture. So I do use a stick blender, and it's not going to be a smooth soup, but it won't have these huge pieces of mushroom in, and they all love that. Now, so as I said, what I read was that a lot of people, they serve the milk first and then they clear off and then they serve a meat dish. So I'm going to do because I can, not everybody can, I'm going to do a quick, what they call a palate cleanser, which is a nice sorbet, a fruit sorbet, just between the milk soup and the meat meal. Remember to rinse your mouth out before you have your meat. Clear off your table, reset it for meat, and then we will continue with our normal meat meal. And that's going to be very traditional. Rice, veg, chicken, and a pair of ice cream. And since the weather is forecast for winter, I'm definitely looking at a meat lunch, warm lunches for the Yontives. I will be back. We're going to take a break for an advert, and then we will continue to talk about our Shavuot meals.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, and welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and you're listening to my talk on Shavuot meals and what I'm planning to do for Shavuot. So once again, we're not having visitors. Nobody is having visitors. None of us are meant to be having visitors. And that means that your budget for Yontov should be able to stretch to some little special extras. And I am definitely going to be doing that with the clotted cream, because I definitely want to try this kahi for breakfast, and making a mushroom soup, which is also slightly more expensive, and just being able to have an extra dessert or an extra cake or something. And that is something we want to do, because we want to make it more special. It's Yontov. It's a lonely Yontov. And it's important that, it's important that we all spend a little extra on Yontov and create something special. So I don't normally plan until around about the 24th, because it's just a few days before payday, and I like to then, get everything organized. I plan for my month, and that's how it's going to be. And thankfully this year Yontov is at the beginning of the month, so I kind of splurge then and have a little bit extra for Yontov. Like I said, I'm going to do the traditional chicken, rice, veg, and ice cream. I haven't planned what I'm doing with either of them, but being the beginning of the month, the gravy for the chicken, the sauce will probably be a little bit more decadent than usual. And I'll spend time making it. When I'm in a hurry, or when it's kind of like the end of the month and we're you know, getting a little tight, I always have packet soup in my cupboard. Packet soup makes one of the best gravies ever, especially if you're using a slow cooker. You mix it up. You don't even use the same amount. You're going to take your packet soup. I think the normal packet soups ask for 850 mils of water. I use about 400 mils of water, mix it with the packet soup, pour it over my chicken or my beef, whichever I'm doing in the slow cooker, and it makes an amazing sauce and a gravy. So that's definitely what I'm going to do. And with us being at home and no shul, we are eating slightly earlier. So I'm able to now make food that is going to, that can stand sitting for just a couple of minutes. Normally when you're planning for Yantav or Shabbos, you've got to realize when you're making your food that it's going to be sitting in your warmer or on your hot tray or on your blech for a long time. And you've got to take into account that it's going to continue to sort of almost carry on cooking and dry out. So gravies and that can sometimes be a little difficult. And you need to adjust the thickness of your gravy because over time gravy gets thicker. So that's one of the things that I've been able to work on during lockdown is my gravies. My late grandmother, my Oma, used to make the most amazing gravies, but we've lost her recipes because I don't think there were any recipes, but we've lost that technique and I've decided it's time to learn to make gravies. If I'm not going to be a baker, I definitely want to improve my savory and my normal meal cooking skills. So gravies are wonderful, and because the meat is not going to be sitting for too long in the warmer, I'm able to do a nice roast chicken and make a separate gravy, and my chicken is not dried out. So that's an important thing. And then, like I said, I'm going to probably make an ice cream for a change because I have the extra budget, as because there are less visitors. I can do something like a fresh strawberry ice cream or my sorbet between my milk and my meat meal. I can make kiwi if I want, you know. So when you're thinking about your meal, remember one of the things that I'm all about is budgeting, and we're keeping kosher, and everybody understands that right now not all of us are earning enough, and keeping kosher can be expensive. And that is why sometimes the vegetarian options or vegan options are actually much better, because we can afford it. I know people say fresh fruit and vegetables are so expensive, but it's not as expensive as buying meat or fish. And that's an important thing. So one of the things that my family really, really like is marrowbone and cholent. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I actually did something with the marrowbones. Marrowbones are nice and cheap, and they are high protein, and that's where you can get your meat from. I roasted my marrowbones. I did not make a cholent with the marrowbones, although I probably will for Shabbos. And the reason I would use marrowbones is because my slow cooker is going to be on, you know, if I'm having it for Shabbos lunch, it's going to be on for a while, all the way from Thursday night. So I need something that's not going to break down. And that's where the marrow bones come in. They don't break down. It's bones. It's nice. And it gives it a rich flavor. Wonderful spread on challah. So when you're making a cholent for Shabbos, like where Shabbos is Yontav and then Shabbos, you're going to want to cook your vegetables. You want to make big pieces of vegetable. The smaller your pieces, the more likely they are to turn to mush. Another good thing to do when you've got a cholent that needs to cook over a long time is to use a starch that's not going to break down. So potatoes would not work here. I would choose to make it with stamp mealies. The stamp, normally it takes a long time to cook. So to put those at the base of your cholent pot with extra liquid, because it does absorb the liquid, you're going to find that you will get a delicious base for your cholent, and it's not going to fall apart. or anything like that. So that'll be great. Other things to take into consideration for your Yantav is remembering that it is a 3-day, it's Friday and Saturday. So if you're wanting a hot lunch for Saturday, for Shabbos, you're going to need to make something that's going to be able to keep. On Friday, even though it is Yantav and we're allowed to cook for Shabbos, I try and avoid having to do any of that because trying to remember what I can and can't do can get a little stressful. So I like to have my food either 3/4 prepped or to have it done, you know, that it's going to be quick on the day. So for those who don't know what a mise en place is, mise en place means prepping in advance. And that's something I do in general. So if you're going to end up cooking on the Friday, have everything ready and chopped on Thursday so that you don't have to worry about chopping and cutting and anything for Shabbos. It's all ready and done and prepped. That is all from me this week. I hope everybody has a good Shavuot. Everybody stays healthy. Please remember we are still in lockdown. Stay home, stay healthy, and avoid people. Skype, Zoom, however it is, you need to chat to your family and friends, go ahead, but no touching. And hopefully soon we'll all be able to share a Yantav together. Thank you. This is Adrian, and you were listening to the Essen Fresen Show on Chai FM.